بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله. This evening we listen to the recitation of three surahs. One was that of Surah Al-Furqan. Surah Al-Furqan was revealed in Mecca at a time when there were very few Muslims. As we know, at the time of Hijrah, there were maybe 100 Muslims who migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Quran was being revealed with such tenacity and such assurances, reassurances for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, that it is difficult for us to conceive of that kind of iman and faith that the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ held about Allah, about Islam, the future of Islam, about the Akhirah, and so on. The first ayah of Surah Al-Furqan, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا, talks about the Prophet ﷺ's mission for all the worlds. Lil'alameen. Blessed is the one who has revealed the Furqan on his servant, so that his servant may be a warner for whom? Li Quraysh? No. Li Ahli Makkah? No. Lil Hijaz? No. Lil'alam? For the world? No. Lil'alameen. All the worlds. And when this has been revealed? At the time when the numbers game made no sense. We don't believe in numbers anyway. نحن أمة أمية. Understand? So now in the middle of the desert, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing this ayah to his servant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's saying that today you are 60 strong, 70 strong. Your message will be for all the worlds. All the worlds, lil alameen. So you must warn everybody. 12 years later, at the time of Hajjat al-Wida, mashallah. So the numbers game don't work with Allah. Right? So today now, unfortunately, we all fall into the numbers game, the stats, how many this and how many that, right? For Muslims. For non-Muslims, it's fine, it works. For Muslims, we must learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the numbers game is never a value that the sunnah appreciated. Never. What is the minimum amount of people you need to establish Salatul Jumu'ah in the masjid? Not in a motel. In a masjid. A bona fide masjid. How many do you think? How many would you think if you're an American, mashallah, doing the numbers game? Salatul Jumu'ah, Allahu Akbar, the Ummah must be there to listen to the khatib, and the message must go out all over Facebook and God knows what. Three people. In our fiqh, we need how many people to establish Salatul Jumu'ah? Three with the imam. Some people say two with the imam. Abu Yusuf goes a bit further. Sometimes 40. Right? Some others got it. Well, what I'm saying is that from where we are studying the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this surah being revealed in Mecca, where there were a handful of believers, Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this message of yours is for all the worlds. But who are all the worlds? There's no one there. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he builds the Kaaba. Allah says, Ibrahim announce. Ibrahim says, who am I announcing to? the stones, the rocks, the mountains of Mecca. There are no birds. There's not even vegetation. At least I can talk to a plant. There are no plants here. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Announce to people. But there's no people here. Again, the numbers don't add up. Why? Because we believe through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a value called barakah. A value called what? Barakah. What is the first word of this ayah? Tabarakah. May Allah be blessed. Allah is the most high and elevated, that He doesn't need numbers in order to prove His point. Tabaraka, ta'ala, very high. From the word baraka comes from this word. Baraka comes from this word, tabaraka. Okay. So those of us who are concerned, as we should do, about ourselves and the ummah, we must forget the numbers game. It must not exist in our minds, period. Why? Because the sunnah has never approved of a number higher than what? 3. The most maybe in tasbih, some of us, mashallah, we barely do 1 tasbih. Subhana rabbil azim, Allahu akbar, subhanallahi walhamdulillah, la ilaha illa Allah. 7 is mustahab. If we ever do it in our lifetimes, Allahu akbar, Jibreel might shake our hands. That's the mustahab. 7 times subhana rabbil azim, subhana rabbil a'la. We barely do it once. Right? Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared the mind, the psyche, the ruh, the spirit, the temperament of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba, that they would never be overwhelmed with the fewness in number and the plentiful in number. It was the same. Ibrahim salam announced, and now mashallah, how many people go for Hajj? How many people have been for Hajj? How many people will go for Hajj through one announcement? That is called barakah, the barakah. So this is the way we must indoctrinate ourselves, our psyche, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your message will spread as long as you deliver. Today, nowadays, mashallah, we get fatawa from Alaska. From where? How do I do my fasting? There's no 18, 15 there. It's 0 degrees. Right? You either see the sun or you don't see the sun. But people asking fatawa, how do I fast? How do I do my salat? Why? Where? In Alaska, subhanAllah. Even beyond Alaska, in northern Canada. Why? Because of this promise Allah subhanAllah gave to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. We are revealing this Qur'an to you so that you will become, the servant will become a warner for all the worlds. All the worlds we know, in this world, in the world of the graves, on the Day of Judgment. So even on the Day of Judgment, everybody will know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All the prophets will know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody will know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they'll know the Quran, and they will know the message, and those who came before us, they also know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they also know the Quran, because they all announced the coming of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we see a prime example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to trust Him, not anything He has created. The difference between the Khaliq and the Makhluq. So you do things for Allah, the Khaliq, but you never trust anyone except the one for whom you are doing, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyway, there are obviously every word and every ayah of this surah Mubarakah is very precious. In this surah, as you can see from the name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a few markers that differentiates us from others, from us and from others, in such a way that if you were to read it, ayah for ayah, in such a way that you wanted to debate everything that's out there in the world today, intellectually, academically, you could do so just by studying this surah. Why? Because Allah says, this surah this Quran is a nadir, it's a warner. It warns people, okay, so that they are able to differentiate between right and wrong, truth and falsehood. This ayah, for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا مَا لِهَذَا الرَّسُولِ يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ وَيَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. What's with this Nabi and this Rasul that he walks around here in the open air and sometimes in the market and also he eats food? What kind of person is that who is calling people towards God when God wants you to give up the dunya? This man is in the dunya. Right? Then Allah then further says, a few ayahs later, وَمَا رَسُلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رَسُولٍ إِلَّا إِنَّهُمْ لَيَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَيَمْشُونَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. Every Nabi Rasul we sent before you, they all walked around in the bazaars giving da'wah. And they all ate food. They were part of the world in which we sent them. Okay. Now when you study this example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in this surah, you will see a very distinct difference, furqaniyya, between us and others, where we incorporate the humanness of the abd, of the rasul, of the human messenger, that he is a human being, he will get tired, he will sleep, he may get sick, he will be hungry, he will do this, everything that is within the scope of everything that is halal, because he has to represent what is halal in the dunya. If he does not represent what is halal in the dunya, how will people follow him? Right? You can't follow somebody who is a prototype. He has to be in the real world, the living world, the breathing world, the eating world, the sleeping world. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Banu Israel, especially the Nasara. That kana ya'kulani ta'am, both Isa alayhi salam and his mother, they used to eat food, which shows that they are part of the human race, that they were living and breathing like other human beings. There was no divinity within them. There was no innate divinity. Innate divinity requires that you are samad, Allahu samad. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمْ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. Allah feeds, he's not fed. Allah feeds, he's never given food. So here we see in this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning people through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say on several occasions, إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ, I'm only a servant. I eat food, I rest, I sleep, I do ibadah, I get married. النِّكَاح مِن سُنَّتِ. Just to show what? That indeed, in reality, he is a human being, and despite or in spite of, or because he is human, he is able to access Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. Had he not been human, it would have been a closed matter as with the angels. Okay. This surah has many insights, and I urge all of you to recite this surah and to look into this ayah, every ayah. The idea that ulama have, that we should not study the Quran by ourselves, refers to what? Refers to what? In a group. In what? In a group where then you are going to be what? The star of the group. And you say, I think. That's where the ulama say, don't study the Quran. Where we do say, study the translation of the Quran is where? By yourself. Then you ask questions. Who do you ask questions? The ulama around you. We never said don't study the Quran by yourself. What we say is that don't do it in a group or with another person to show that you know more than that one or that one needs to learn from you. You understand? So now, if you take up a translation of this surah and you read through the translation of this surah, you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open doors for you to learn and study the Quran more and more. More and more. Okay? The consumer approach to knowledge, that's wrong. That you want everybody to consume what it is you're thinking. So you should not be worried about what you are thinking. You should be worried about whether or not you're thinking the truth. Right? So there's no harm in you studying a translation of the Quran where and when? By yourself. Without you rebounding your thoughts on another bichara miskeen. Right. What do you say about this? So we have all the mufassirun of the Quran, mashallah, who don't know anything about the Quran. And they come up with such brilliant ideas about the Quran, subhanAllah. La hawla quwwata illa billah. So that's what we say, don't do. So if you want to study a book written by a scholar on the Quran, by all means, you should do so. Okay? But don't export it. Don't send somebody. Don't say, I like this, how about you? Don't do that. Then you sit with a scholar and you say, okay, I have understood this eye this way. What do you say? That's called learning. That's called learning. When you have all these halaqat in various masajid, in various cultural centers or community centers, and people go off on tangents. And that is where the destruction of the ummah begins, where there is tahrif now. This distortion. Because one person's opinion will be that I like this person this way, and I believe this ayah means this, and then you'll start a trend. And then you'll say that women should lead, and we should believe in gay rights. That's how it starts. Right? There's no furqaniyya. Look in this surah, furqaniyya. وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْبَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about marriage, that one of his amazing, fascinating proofs of his power and his qudra is the institution of marriage, where the marriage now has two lines. One lineage is through blood, and the other lineage is through in-laws. Sihr. In the gay rights movement, where is that construct? Is there such a construct that you're going to have now in-laws? Who are in-laws? وَلَا حَوْلَا قُولَ اللَّهِ. Right? This is in this surah. This is surah Furqan. If you understand this, it's very simple. It's nothing too difficult, nothing too complicated. And you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire you to feel and believe that the Quran indeed is a revelation for all times, for all people. And it's very, very clear. You don't have to beat around the bush. You don't need philosophy and sophistication in order to be a part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What you need is you need to be an abd of Allah. And then at the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes all the sifat, all the attributes of Ibadur Rahman. Fascinating. Read that translation. You will shiver when you read even the translation of those ayah at the end of the surah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. From there all the way to the end until the dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ وَاجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. From there to the end, just read the translation and you'll see that it is so beautiful, it is so inspiring, it is remarkable, and that everything is encapsulated in these words. And all of these words were revealed to the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca. Before the Hijrah, before there were too many Muslims, okay, before even this time, 1400, 1500 years later, the Quran still speaks volumes, opens up many doors of thought and thought processes where we unfortunately are bereft. Why? Because we're too busy liking or not liking social media. Right? Spend half an hour on this, get a good translation, and read it for yourself without doing what? Without becoming a mufassir. Without discussing it with the person next to you, even in the house. Now, if there's an issue, a problem, or you feel that you need more clarification, Chicago, mashallah, is sharif. It is blessed with ulama. Blessed with ulama, mashallah. Pick up anyone's email, write to them, they'll give you an answer within 1 or 2 days, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up doors, and that is why we say that the Quran is a revelation for all Muslims after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we read the Arabic And then we and try to understand the translation, whichever way we can, it will be very, very beneficial for all of us, inshallah. With this, we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts everything we've done for him in this Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the rest of Ramadan easy for all of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah the way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to ask for Jannah in this month. Allahumma inna nas'aluka ridaaka wal Jannah. ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله.